You're listening to Football Special, the definitive Donegal GAA podcast.
Okay, guys, the draw for the 2014 Championship has been made. Start with you, Alan. What do you make of the draw for Donegal this year?
Yeah, I think we're definitely delighted we didn't get an away draw, a preliminary round draw. I think we've managed to avoid most of the big guns, so I think Jim McGuinness and his new backroom team can be quite happy with the draw we've got so far. As I said, if we get through the first game against Derry, you're looking in at Antrim and Fermanagh, so the bigger fish are definitely in the other half of the draw.
Yeah, definitely, Chris. In theory, we're going to be away to Derry. Any idea what the capacity of Celtic Park is? And you know, I'm sure we're all happy to go there, given you know, we were so blessed to get a home game last year.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. It'll be the first time since 2005 that we won't have lost a championship game in Ballymofay. So a bit strange that way. Celtic Park holds in and around the 20,000, a little bit over around 22,000. So I suppose, as Alan was pointing out earlier on, Derry are probably a poorly supported team. So I don't know if there'll be much in the way of a ticket scramble for that one. But I suppose local rivalry, Donegal, Derry, Celtic Park, closer to a lot of Donegal people. I suppose particularly guys like myself and Damien there, down that neck of the woods. So I suppose pretty easily accessible and stuff. Could be a regular Donegal support heading in, alright.
Yeah, I mean, Damien, 20,000, I mean, there's no doubt the game is going to be in Celtic Park then.
I think so. It would be nice to see it reversed to Celtic Park if we have it now. It's a little Celtic Park and probably holding around that, you know, literally from Morton's next parish over. Like, so, look, it's a great draw. Donegal's record against Derry in recent years has been very, very good. They're now in their second year on Brian McCabe there. They put in, you know, a decent performance maybe last year in the championship beat down on the second day out. But they lost them to Cavan in extra time. Celtic Park in a very good game, but yeah, it's a very good draw for us. Like, you know, and we are, it looks like they on the easier side of the draw with Fermanagh and the semi final. Like, so, you know, they'll be preaching now about, you know, not looking past Derry, but yeah, good draw for Donegal. And you know, the game in Celtic Park, I think it will be an all ticket game. A lot of these ultra games from all ticket, like even with 20,000 on the capacity, they will make it all ticket, I'd say. But very good draw, very happy with it, avoiding some of the stronger teams, mainly Tyrone.
Yeah, Frank, we don't have dates, times and venues yet, but let's hope it's not the 26th of May again, or you know, we don't get used to hearing this mantra. You know, hopefully it won't be as big a deal next year as it was this year, the first game.
Well, not at all Ireland champions. I don't think the demand will quite be as it was this year. But as a tasty wee Northwest derby, and it was been even coming away from home, Celtic Park. It's a nice wee compact ground. But I suppose even last year we had speculated that maybe Ulster as a province wasn't the gauntlet that it had been in previous years. But with the emergence of Monaghan and with Cavan still coming, I think once again on paper, it's probably the province that's going to be the most difficult to call.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, the other side of the draw is fascinating. I mean, there's a lot of good battles there. It'd be interesting. It's Cavan and Armagh again, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Armagh home this year, though.
Right, okay, that's interesting. And obviously the speculation is still flying around about Ciarán Mhaoiní returning to Armagh, but that seems to be unlikely. Of course, we'll have the great Shawnee Johnson back next year, so definitely they'll be even more dangerous. Let's go back in time a little bit then. Jim McGuinness, after some deep thinking and discussion and debate, confirmed he was returning as manager in 2014. Chris, I think we're all delighted at that.
Absolutely, we are. I suppose it was a big worry. There'd been a lot of talk and a lot of speculation after the Mayo defeat, you know, what was going to happen, Jim. And a lot made of his work life and a lot made of, you know, the demands in his personal life. And I suppose the day before, he was due to meet with the guys, his wife, give birth to twins. And I suppose everybody just sort of were adding all these together and assuming that Jim would go. But I suppose Jim, the winner that he is and the man that he is, wanted to see out the 4-year tenure. And really wouldn't have wanted that Mayo game to be the bookend in his Donegal managerial tenure. So here we are back, and here we are, I suppose, back with a lot of changes, and that's a fact alongside him.
Yeah. I mean, Damien, Chris mentioned there, you know, there was a lot of the kind of discussion about his personal life, and, you know, I don't use that in the pejorative sense. I mean, just, you know, his the fact that you know, he had two more kids on the way, and that he's commuting over and back to Glasgow for his job with Celtic, and he seemed to take a bit of issue with that, you know, this was kind of he didn't seem to appreciate this being discussed or used against him, and he was very very quick to point out he hadn't missed the training session last year. Do you think he had a case there, or I mean, you know, it just he was one of the more interesting managers in Ireland even before 2012, and it's just a fact of life that people are going to take an interest in his circumstances.
I think every time Jim McGuinness has spoken about the job that he does with in Glasgow, he talks about how much more convenient it is for him to get to Glasgow than people might imagine, that he can leave the house at 10 o'clock and get the flight from Carrickfinn to Tenerife. Be at work 15-20 minutes after he lands in Glasgow. He's making the point most recently, so I'll comment from that the travel that the players coming from club had to do was far greater than his, and he mixed in not only legal point that, you know, if he was the fact that so much focus is on us is A, it's with Celtic, B, it's in another country, but you know, if you were travelling from Limerick, or if Jim McGuinness had got a job in Munster, or if Limerick had got a job facing Cork or something, they wouldn't be happy to chat about it. So every time it's come up and he's addressed himself, he's talked about it not being the onerous traveling and the onerous that people might suggest. And when it comes to being with family, I think Jim's on the record saying that, you know, he gets 3 and 4 days a week at home, 5 days at home very often. He needs to be with his kids in those days and in the house. So, you know, we take some of the world in that. Like, I think that probably a lot too much is being made of it. I can understand where he's coming from, and it's you know, it keeps coming up. Like, and, you know, Celtic have been pretty good with them as well. Like, and, you know, back in July time, I remember the Lennon making comment that McGuinness is going to get whatever time of goals he needed to prepare to only go. Like, that was moments or months when probably there isn't so many people about the Celtic camp we had, because they're not really being. So, yeah, I think every time it comes up, McGuinness puts it down, but it's just a conversation. People can't quite get their head around the fact that, you know, for Donegal, people taking a flight to Glasgow is a lot quicker than driving to Dublin.
Yeah, I suspect quite a few people wouldn't know where Carrickfinn is, and would be surprised that there would actually be an airport there, but there you go. Frank, two things struck me about the process, I guess. One was that he turned up at a fixtures meeting, was it the night of that his twins were born, and, you know, spoke at that, and spoke quite passionately at that meeting, I believe, which was great to see. But prior to that, he'd appeared on the BBC Championship and as a panel member, and his analysis was fascinating. To see him and McGeaney sitting side by side, you know, talking about Mayo Tyrone was great. But you know, he was asked about his future, and he very laid it on the line that he wasn't happy with the way things were last year. He wasn't quite specific in who or what he was talking about, but he definitely made his point, didn't he?
Yeah, of course. And I suppose at the same time, you still need to look at this from both sides. There's a club argument, and there's an inter-county management argument, and I suppose what you're trying to look for is a happy medium in between. I think if we can get championship played before, and I say championship, I mean club championship, around before we start our Ulster campaign, it might alleviate the pressure in the back low, because we're not guaranteed to be in Pro Park in September. I mean, once again, our season's going to be over in August, club championship. So I think we'll have to play up a year and see how it pans out. I mean, there's been provisions put in place for next year now, but as I said, proof will be on the pudding when this is actually put in place and the games actually start to roll, because you can't compensate for luck that might happen in between.
No, indeed not. And I mean, I suppose it's set up for us on the basis that we make a long championship run, but equally we could be out by middle of June or early July. And if people are kind of thinking they're not going to be involved in championships till August, September, then, you know, that's going to cause issues with players leaving, players going on holidays and so on. So, yeah, it's hard to get it right.
As is the case, there again. I mean, you're going to have problems in between. There's going to be league games where clubs are not the county players, and there lies the problem. I mean, somebody made a suggestion that you could add a 16 group Division 1 where no team would be relegated in the other ones. Whether that would solve the problem in between, I don't know. It's too late now to take that there, but it was something that was muted, and I thought it was kind of an interesting one as well.
Yeah, and Alan, was any agreement made about what days league games would be played on, and what days Donegal team would train? I know there's this Saturday Sunday thing that was meant to be in place last year that maybe didn't go through as planned, and he might have been a bit unhappy about that. Is that, I mean, there was, I think the words used last year was he felt he had an unwritten agreement, and there was that was kind of, you know, not accepted by the county board or the fixtures committee.
Yeah, last year Rory Gallagher met with CCC on behalf of Jim, and they understood that there was an agreement in place. There turned out there wasn't an agreement in place. At the minute, we haven't really heard, to tell you the truth, Kieran, but I think the plan, what Jim will be looking for, he'll be looking for probably a Saturday, with the majority, or if not all of the club games be played then on a Sunday.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, at least there was agreement, and, you know, most of the clubs supported Jim, which I think was good to see. But you know, my suspicion is that we'll come to next year, and that doesn't mean there won't be problems. You know, I'm always amazed that you know, people come out and, you know, moan or complain about things that were agreed previously. But you know, that just seems to be a fact of life with GAA fixtures and scheduling. Okay, so. No sooner than Jim had you know, announced he was coming back, and we heard, Chris, that Rory Gallagher, as well as Maxi Kern and Francie Friel, were stepping away or being stood down. It's hard to know exactly you know, what the process or sequence of events was. I think we were all taken by surprise, and you know, we've always kind of seen Jim and Rory as an item, as you were. So it a blow to Donegal.
Yeah, I suppose it took us all by surprise that Tuesday when the word began filtering through that at first I suppose that Rory Gallagher was gone, and then we heard that Maxi Kern and Francie Friel were gone. And I suppose the big question on everyone's lips at the time, and even now, is why and what exactly happened, you know, because we're sort of getting two, maybe even three different stories at times as to what exactly happened. Now, the sequence of events, we know that Jim met the county chairman, Sean Dunyan, on the Saturday and agreed, obviously, to stay for the last year of his four-year tenure. On the Sunday then, we were present in McCool Park at the Glensville Kiltar game, and the guys came into the press box after the game, and Jim did an interview on county radio, and I suppose there was no real suggestion at the time that there would be such sweeping changes, but it was very interesting. Jim wasn't really committing to the fact that he would have the backroom team in place. He basically said that, you know, everything would be reviewed and everything would be sort of looked at, and listening back to the interview, there was certainly a hint that things weren't right, and I suppose then there was disagreements about certain things, about maybe certain players that they wanted to bring in, certain players maybe they wanted to let go, and certain methods. And I suppose ultimately as well, there was the big question about the commitment that was being asked of them and stuff. But all that aside, something happened Monday and Tuesday that I don't know if we'll ever get the full story, because I suppose if one guy comes out with his side of events, then we're going to get maybe a turn and throw thing that nobody really wants. But yeah, look, the whole thing really came out of the blue and really escalated from Sunday to Tuesday. And as I say, something happened on the Monday. Like, again, my information was that Rory had telephoned the county chairman on the Monday night to say that he was given consideration to his future. And first thing on the Tuesday morning, the chairman took a phone call from the county manager to say that there would be the three changes to his backroom team.
Right, right. Damien, ultimately this was Jim McGuinness's call. It's his backroom team. These guys, correct me if I'm wrong here, but these guys weren't appointed by the county board. They're not like your traditional selectors. Like, so this was Jim's call. Fair enough.
Yeah, look, I don't think it looked like something was particularly planned, but once the decision was made that the three lads that were there, Rory and Maxine and Francie, were even, you know, I think that Jim McGuinness decided, well, you know, there's an opportunity here as well, and a virtue has been made of it now, you know, so it did give a chance to freshen things up, and they brought in three servants, and I got a couple that had to come in now, and they were probably as elected as those. Rory Gallagher would be tremendous with Donegal, but I think he largely built his reputation as a coach with Donegal. I mean, Rory would be playing right up to maybe what, a year or less before he came in as the coach of Donegal. So, you know, the likes of David Cooper and Paul McGonigal, John Duffy, I don't think any of them have a very extensive coaching background behind them. Certainly haven't been coaching an All-Ireland team as transfer was, you know, but at the same time, I think they've probably been in not too dissimilar a situation from that Rory came in 2011, like, you know, so I don't think it was part of the plan, but once it happened, you know, things had moved on, and you know, a virtue's been made out of it, and you know, it's three very interesting and strong characters that have been brought into the background team, to the backroom team of Jim McGuinness. It would be interesting to see what the dynamic is there and the different roles that those will take within the management team in 2014, and you know, it's going to be a completely different season. You know, last year, playing all our champions, we couldn't put too much store, too much time for the kind of cup. The National League was kind of considered a botheration. I don't think that's going to be the way this time. We're not going to put out the 2021 team in the kind of cup, I would expect. And I do think that, you know, our Division 2 campaign in the league next year, you can't say that the league doesn't really matter next year. Donegal must be pushing for promotion next year, whether we get it or not. I don't know that it's all that important that we necessarily get it, but you certainly want to be pushing for promotion and coming into the last round of games that you would be involved, at least have a shot at the promotion. So I think there's going to have to be a different attitude. And given that the players have probably stopped the collective training since the defeat to Mayo, like, you know, I think they'll come back and be fresher. There won't have been the celebrations, there won't have been the condensed club championship and so on. So, you know, different prospect next year and different backroom team behind it. Like, you know, on the back of the draw tonight, you put something to look forward to very much.
Yeah. Frank, I think there was a few names thrown about. There wasn't that many. I mean, there was nobody kind of that high profile from outside the county, I don't think, mentioned as a possible candidate for the backroom team. But I think Damien Diver certainly would have been at the top of many people's lists, and for various reasons he was ruled out because he seemingly ruled himself out. So it was a wee bit of a surprise, but I think a good result. Not that you'd say anything else against an Armagh man, our Drama man, but I think it's a good appointment.
Well, it can be universally popular. I would probably be a bit biased, but I'm sure even if you spoke to people in the likes of Glenties Club, the St. Eunice Club, Diver was the kind of guy that had, I suppose, a universal respect for the way he played, and I suppose the way he applied himself to, not just on the pitch, but off it. I remember chatting to Brian Roper when he was there about 2 years ago, from the 3 years ago, Ulster to play club games, and they saw all the weights in the clubhouses, and it was all new and alien to them. He remarked that at the time, Damon Diver was probably only got senior popular back in the mid-90s, that embraced this kind of culture that Armagh, and I suppose like Tyrone already had started to lay the foundation. So the players definitely have respect. I've chatted to Paddy McGrath and different guys during the week. The players definitely like to see, I suppose, a marquee name come up there, because Rory, I suppose, filled many holes in so far as he's a coach and motivator, and he was a bit of a marquee name too. I know, as Damien alluded to, he had much maybe openly pedigree behind him, but a lot of clubs in Dublin, a lot of people spoke very highly of what Rory brought to the table, and I know we're very lucky to bring that. Still going for a little bit of apprehension about how maybe that whole dynamic will work, but I'm sure it'll become a lot clearer in the next couple of months. As the boys said, you know, this time last year the guys were partying, celebrating rightly after their great achievements over the last 2 years. I mean, even in each other's company when they weren't playing football, they've had a break from that whole group. But I know that now with the individual programmes, and I mean, Donegal's preparations for next season have already started in earnest, as opposed to maybe January or February like they did last. That can only mean a good thing.
Yeah. Alan, just on the other two guys, I think that took pretty much everyone by surprise. I mean, aside from his green credentials, we're not quite sure what John Duffy's been up to lately. Paul McGonigal probably is better well known in the northern half of the county, where they eat their young and so on. What's your take on that?
I just found it interesting, Kieran, because last year I was involved with the Jimmy's Winning Matches documentary, and we spoke to Jim about why he appointed the likes of Rory Gallagher, Pat Chilton, Maxi Kernan, them, and he says the one characteristic he was looking for in a backroom team was positivity. He just wanted positive characters, and I think what he's done this time, as well as what he's done last year, all really good positive people. Damien Diverick we've spoken about, John Duffy's living over in the Cross now. I think he's a bit of a character by all accounts, but a good positive person. And maybe Damien a little bit more about Paul McGonigal, but from what I've dealt with in the last few years since he's finished football, he's very much Mr. Bunkrana there, Damien.
I call still actually laying out for the Bunkrana senior team, not by his own choice necessarily, like, you know, but he's still probably starting with the Bunkrana senior team, which too, like, he's the club chairman as well, because he had and made it on before this appointment came along, but he'd be stepping down after. McGonigal as a player, I suppose he came to the county team very, very late. He was probably in the mid-20s at the time, maybe he came in about 2001 or so, but he's always kind of a leader character, like very much a leader character in that phone crowd of people. You know, I think it's an appointment of a trade, like, you know, I think it's a very good organisation, like, you know, and I'm interested just in, you know, who's going to be taking the lead role in coaching, who's going to be taking the lead role in organising, who's going to be the diplomat that's going to be, you know, smoothing things over between players and management and so on. I'm interested to see what way all that happens, but yeah, McGonigal's interesting appointment. I was speaking to the paper this week. He was very proud of the vote that I said just last week, and the amount of people that were coming up last Friday to wish him well on his appointment just after the news broke was amazing. And he said he was very humbled by it all. He thinks it's been a shot in the arm, not just for the Bunkrana club, for football on the shore.
Good. And so, Chris, we had the first gathering of sorts last weekend of the current squad, the new management team. I assume the new management team were there, and a few new faces and a few familiar faces. Very, very early days yet, but do you see any of these guys sticking and making the squad for May or June or whenever we make the trip to Celtic Park?
Well, I suppose the couple of names that stood out for us all, I suppose, were the return of Christy Toy. I think on the first note, on the guys who came in, you know, we're all delighted to see the name of Christy Toy back. They mentioned in playoff football circles he's had a really, really, really tough few months and stuff. And I suppose he came back and played with St. Michael's and was forced out again. So I suppose we're first of all just delighted to see Christy Toy back then football and back with a chance of getting himself back into the Donegal frame for next year, because I suppose we all agree that Christy Toy was a massive, massive loss this year, you know, in those games. And what he was bringing off the bench as the impact sub in 2012 was badly missed in 2013. As for the other guys, I suppose we know all about Kieran Bonner and Liam Thompson from recent club championships. Two guys who were involved very heavily in Brian McGiver's time were involved in the National League winning squad in 2007. And I suppose both have had their troubles, Leon been injured on and off for the last few years. And I suppose Jim knows Leon very, very well from his time at Neath Connell, and would have coached him and would have played with him as well in Leon's younger years. So if he can stay injury free, then certainly he's a real dynamic sort of a forward, good eye for goal, can take a score. Kieran Bonner, I suppose, is one that maybe very much like the backroom thing. It took us maybe a bit by surprise because Kieran, having played so well and been so influential for Glensolly in 2011, was overlooked. I suppose his troubles in the past have been well documented and well talked about, beaten to death at this stage. But I suppose what we will say about Kieran Bonner, he has a chance. You know, he's been given the olive branch, so to speak, and look, he's been taken into the squad. There's a 39-40 man squad there now, and look, it's Kieran Bonner on his day. A focused, a fit Kieran Bonner would absolutely be in the first 20 in Donegal. Now, I suppose the big word there is if, and if we get that in January, then that can certainly only be a positive. The only guys, I suppose, the likes of Conor Klassen, Frank could maybe elaborate a bit more on them, but I was ghosting down to the Mourners column for this week's paper today, and he was saying, you know, regarding Conor Klassen, it's not exactly as if we're coming down with top class midfielders in Donegal, and, you know, looking through the club scene, Conor's probably, you know, outside of the guys like Michael Haggerty, Kevin Cassidy and so forth, Conor Klassen is probably the next guy in line. Was a member of the under-21 squad in 2010, and I suppose what he didn't get before was an extended run in the squad, but, you know, you just never know. And the other guys, I suppose, really, really faces Tommy McKinley and Anthony McFadden were there before, and again, failed to maybe make a breakthrough. And I suppose the breakaway maybe has made them see maybe what they have to do to get up. And the two on the shown guys, young Darryl Connor, are really, really exciting player. Who was in the minors this year, the minor captain actually, and Stephen McLaughlin then from Mallon, who has been one of the stars of the show in Mallon's run to the championship semi-final, and again deserving of his chance. So look, all of those guys who've been brought in they have the ability to add something. So whether they do or not, I suppose, remains to be seen here.
Yeah, long way to go. It is interesting though, as Damien, I think we were talking during the week, Jim tends to include a minor player in the squad, and he 2011 it was Paddy McBurtie, and last year it was Ryan McHugh, so and both ended up making the team. Ryan maybe more out of necessity than been first choice by the end of it, but it'll be interesting to see who stays the course. Frank, this weekend we have the county championship semi-finals. Your own Ardragh against my old Glenswilly. First up on Saturday evening. Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it. Surely, at the same time, we'll be well aware that maybe as a traditional big hitter in the championship, we're going to this game as underdogs. I know people have referenced the freshness about the teams that are in at the minute, but I would still see Glenswilly and even Mallon as having more than a wee bit to spare in the tank over these two on paper. But as I said, anything can happen on the day, and we travel the problem of things Saturday night in anticipation as much as hoping, because as I said, we have a lot of boys there that have experience, like Sir Brent Boyle, Conor Klassen coming good. I know at the moment he's got a wee bit of a hamstring problem, but he's the kind of player that we're going to need, not just their fit, but going at 100%, and we're going to nullify the obvious threats that Glenswilly have.
Aye, well, you know, Glenswilly would be a massive proposition at this stage of the season. Alan, Glenswilly Kilcar wasn't very easy on the eye, I believe. I was only able to listen to it, but a hard fought victory, and they seem pretty focused this year, and the county players are back now, and I think Neil Gallagher had a decent game. Michael probably still searching for a bit of form, but how do you see it going Saturday evening?
Yeah, Neil had a good game. Colin Kelly was very good, and Kieran Bowler. Michael came back into a bit of form last week. I think he kicked 1-5 in the first half against Glenfiddich alone. The Kilcar game wasn't probably a game that reached the heights, but Glenswilly under Gary McDade have kind of developed a good habit of winning these sort of games, and they get themselves out of these corners. So I think they're nearly even one of the favourites for the championship, and I think it's probably a fair enough price at the minute. No team was particularly impressive. I think in the quarterfinals, Mallon were probably the most impressive out of the whole of them. So I'd say Glenswilly are justifiably favourites against Ardragh on Saturday night.
Yeah. Chris, then in the other semi-final Sunday afternoon, we have Killy Beggs, who are really struggling in Division 1, taking on a Mallon team who are doing fantastically well.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose just a player that I neglected to mention there, going through Jim's new distance, was young Jamie McFadden from Killy Beggs. Had 2-4 in Killy Beggs' quarterfinal win over Sean McCool. So played a bit of soccer with Sligo Rovers, but seems to be committing to Gaelic football now, and certainly his presence in the edge of the square or in and around the field, wherever he goes, is a massive boost for Killy Beggs, who I understand that Brendan Faherty back from America and will talk and will play against Mallon on Sunday. So Killy Beggs' attack is going to be really boosted by the inclusion of Brendan Faherty. Killy Beggs have been a real, I suppose, bit of an enigma this year. Like, I mean, losing 14 league games and losing them quite heavily. But, you know, here they are, and here they stand 60 minutes from a final. And, you know, something that I suppose that comes into play with these games, and I would use this with our draw as well, is that sort of tradition and that history that they have. And, you know, stuff like that probably does matter when it comes to the crunch and championship fixtures. And Gillie Bags are going very much like our draw on Saturday evening with no fear. And I suppose the danger with Mallin is maybe how the big occasion and how that sort of affects them. You know, will they be affected by the big occasion? You know, they're sort of out of their comfort zone, so to speak, you know, coming out of an Ashonan and the Val Buffet for a big game. But, you know, what Terence Cahoon has, he has a great squad of players. You know, they went down to our draft last week, minus six or seven first team players, and managed to eke out a win. And, you know, we look at the spine of their team, Declan Walsh, Anthony Kelly, Stephen McLaughlin, Matthew Byrne, Michael Byrne, young Dan McDade, a member of County Underage teams in recent years as well. Like, they're a good squad. But, you know, as this week goes on, like, if you asked me on Monday, I would have said Mallon to win this comfortably. But as this week goes on, I'm actually leaning ever so slightly now towards Killybergs. Like, I still think Mallon will win the game, but any slippage from the Tom Killybergs will punish them.
Right. Damien, good buzz in the show at the moment about this Mallon team, and in your view, are Killybegs better or worse now than they were when they took on Neve Connell in the county final some years ago?
Yeah, big buzz around the show. You know, most of the clubs here playing junior and intermediate, like all the other clubs are playing junior and intermediate, and there was a big support from outside of the Mallon club and getting behind Mallon for it, and big number as well from outside of Mallon, but up on Sunday. Look, Mallon probably find themselves a wee bit in the position that St. Union's find themselves in against Mallon, where they go in as very hot favourites. But from talking to the Mallon boys this week, like, they wouldn't really see it that way. They would reference the fact that Quebecs have a much stronger pedigree with six titles. They've been in the finals recently in 2010. You know, Mallon, first ever semi-final, and saying that, if they can, you know, the tradition does count for so much, like, but I think it's mostly about, you know, what you're doing in any given season. Like, you know, notably Mallon are the best physical shape I've ever seen, and I suppose that comes from training, doing championship training up until the end of September and October. They've generally been knocked out in the first round of the championship every year for the last number of years, so they're in very, very good shape. They've just done very good individual players, but they will certainly, you know, will have to bring the same type of intensity and focus as they've had in the game against St. Jude's. If they're to, Quebec, so some of their supporters withdraw, with Nader, both, you know, we're in the final here now, the players are very, you know, they're not taking anything for granted at all. With a very good management team there, that's keeping a beating ground. But look, they made Quebec a few weeks back in a league game in Connolly Park, and they didn't go in for it as well. But I think Quebec, you know, probably from midway through the season or even earlier, figured up we're not going to hold a position in Division 1 here. They didn't really seem to care too much about Division 1. They put all their eggs in the championship basket, and they're there in the last four. They're very dangerous opponents, and Mallon really have to be at themselves this weekend. It's fair to do. It's prestigious, you know, anything less than, you know, the full effort, full intensity. You know, they could be very well get caught, but to be fair, I don't see the Mallon boys doing a pretty clever management and some very clever individual footballers as well. I'd like to see how Matthew Burton does this weekend. He's, you know, probably one of their best forwards. He's been one of the best forwards for a couple of years, but he's quite a lot of soccer players out playing on international, the Republic of Ireland, international amateur team, so that's for junior football teams in a competition that Dublin is running all weekend. He's going to have been quite tired. He's one of their key forwards. Young Stephen McLaughlin-Fildara is to call it his pace to burn. You know, if he can do anything, every time he got the ball against St. Jude's, he was just bombs carried over there. St. Jude's been handling the ball. So we'll just see how Killybegs can handle the pace of the Mallon boys. You know, they're in very, very good shape. And they probably were quite offensive against St. Jude's. Like, you know, they're not, you know, confident they can score in the quarterfinals weekend. The score options fell over.
Okay, good. Okay, Frank, we'll wrap up just by mentioning very briefly, Michael Murphy was today announced as the captain for the Ireland team for the International Rules Series. Tremendous honour for anyone from Donegal. But there's quite a potential interesting incident looming, subject to results on Saturday evening, of course.
Yeah, subject to Glenn's fully qualifying for the county shop, Michael's probably going to have a problem the night of the test, because the county final is down for the 20th of October, and sorry, the fourth test, and the 19th is the game in Cavan on the Saturday night, if I'm not mistaken. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. So he's coming to himself, wait to see how the result goes to the weekend to see what happens. But again, John Harden pointed out today on social media that there is a precedent set where the Ulster tie on the 3rd of November can be moved to accommodate, if, I suppose, a change to let Michael to talk about. But I mean, as I said, it's hypothetical at the moment, and hopefully our draw will be able to make that an easy choice for the Ireland management team and Michael himself on Saturday night. But it's a great honour. I mean, we have a great tradition in Donegal of people representing Ireland as an international route, not just at senior level, but under 17 over the years too. And our own club, Mark Gaffigan, back in the late 80s was one of the first representatives of Brenton Devaney in the early millennium too. So good luck to Michael, it's a great honour, and no better man. I think it's another universal and very popular decision, judging by people's comments today.
Yeah, okay. Good. Okay, I think we'll leave it at that for this evening, folks. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Football Special.